for your patience, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. Okay, are there any questions from visitors on new business items? Please approach the podium and state your name on new business items. Seeing no questions, any discussion from board about agenda items? Okay, may I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 3? Mrs. George, seconded by Mrs. Dellerba. Discussion? All in favor? Against? Passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 3? Mrs. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. Discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, moving on to agenda item 6. We have a presentation number 4 on the proposed 2018-2019 school budget.
Welcome. This is budget presentation number 4. I'm going to roll through some of the first slides, the same slides we see every time. Tonight's agenda is going to be going over pretty much giving you a year-to-year snapshot of where the financial picture is, budget to budget. We are coming down to the final stages of our proposed budget presentation for you. We are awaiting state aid, so we feel like we're in a fairly very good place right now. And tonight's presentation, we'll be looking at the components of the draft budget pertaining to instruction, technology, and special education. As you can see, we put together the proposed spending plan. We do this every year. Our goal is not to just maintain, but also to now exceed program opportunities. Another goal is to continue enhancing district technology infrastructure, and you're going to hear a lot about that tonight after our regular meeting concludes. Mr. Dillon will be up for the technology meeting. Some exciting things happening here in Babylon. And a third goal is to really design and adopt a budget that is educationally sound and, most importantly, equally importantly, fiscally responsible to the taxpayers. So this is our tax levy cap calculation. I'm going to ask Dr. Daly just to explain the new figure at the bottom and why that figure has changed in the last few weeks.
Sure. One of the earlier presentations, the number on the bottom, the allowable growth in the tax levy was 3.25. We had learned after that presentation that for the first time, at least in my history in Babylon, and as far back as I was able to determine, we're receiving pilot funds, payments in lieu of taxes, for the theater on Main Street. Now, that happens when the Babylon, the Township's Industrial Development Agency, IDA, in an attempt to attract a business or to get a business to stay in an area, they give them a break on what they would normally be expected to pay in taxes based on their assessed value. In this particular case, that break, or the, I'm sorry, not the break, they negotiate an agreement with the new owner. And that new agreement is going to be paying us over, I believe it's a 12-year period. We're getting from them $19,787 each year in lieu of taxes. Each year, that number is going to go down by a percentage until year 12, I believe it's year 12, that payment in lieu of taxes will be 100% of what they would normally pay if they were not receiving any break in the town. So because we learned about that, that has to be factored into the formula. It dropped the allowable increase in the tax levy from 3.25% to 3.2%.
Great. Okay. This next slide, actually these next two slides, show you year to year, okay, budget to budget. These are pretty important slides. This is the current year's spending plan that we're in right now. Our budget that we're in right now was passed last May of 2017 at a cost of $51,670,000. It carried a tax levy cap of 3.66%, and that was a 2.99% budget-to-budget increase. That budget passed with a 76% approval rate. Okay? So remember, 3.66, 2.99% budget-to-budget. This current year's spending plan is shaping up. It will carry a 3.20% tax levy cap percentage and a 2.45% budget-to-budget increase. Next year's budget must come in at $52,938,000 and change. So as of tonight, and this is without additional state aid coming in, without the possibility of early retirement, taking advantage of the retirement incentive we just put out, we currently have, as tonight, a $262,922 gap. That's without additional state aid. So we're feeling pretty optimistic, I should say, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So our numbers for next year's proposed budget are lower percentage-wise than we were for this current year. Everyone clear with that? You also have a copy of this in your folders. Okay, so do that. Very quickly, Dr. Dill, if you want to talk about some key budget factors when we were building this budget, some of the drivers.
Sure. This year we will have fully funded the project renewal debt service. It's in and done. It will not increase any further. Mrs. Rossi talked about the state aid picture. Right now, based on the executive budget, the governor's proposal, which is what we're using for our projections, foundation aid, which is the, I'd say, general operating aid, our increase under the governor's budget was $13,449. We strongly believe that that number will be improved on by the time the legislature adopts the budget, which by law they're required to do by April 1st. So we should know any day now how much that number is going to increase. The amount that that number increases reduces that magic number that was a few slides back. And then the difference is what we will most likely have to go back to the budget and look at trimming certain areas so that we get to that budget increase that satisfies the tax levy cap. Again, cost drivers, you've heard me talk about it. Healthcare costs, increases in the employer contribution rate to the teacher retirement system and the employee retirement system. The single year increase in the health insurance is anticipated to be $350,000. That includes a January 1, 2019 increase of approximately 8 to 9% in premium costs. That's a major, major factor. And probably, if there was one thing that should be changed in the cap calculation formula, it would be increases in health insurance premiums. The other one should probably be increases, unanticipated increases above a certain percentage in special education costs, but I would take one of the two. Teacher retirement system, the increase in the employer contribution rate is 9.83%. That equates to $331,000. It's a lot of money. ERS increase because of the types of people we employ. The vast majority are teacher retirement system members and not employee retirement system members, which are predominantly your support staff. That increase is only $42,000. So very quickly, if you do the math, 350, 331, 42,000, you saw earlier that our state aid, our foundation aid, has only increased $13,449,000. That puts a lot of pressure on us to generate a tax cap compliant budget.
Great, thank you.
Okay, so let's get into some of the exciting news for tonight. We're taking a look tonight at the instructional component. The instructional component really represents a large percentage of any school district's operational spending plan. It's comprised of all of those codes that you see on that slide. The total cost for the operational component in the current year's budget was at $29,377,000. Next year, that component is coming in at $29,717,000. So let's take a look what this, what all of these codes represent. The instructional codes take into account all general educational instructional salaries, non-instructional salaries, longevity payments, professional development, conferences, after-school clubs and activities, all interscholastic athletics, chaperone fees, substitute costs, home instruction, summer school, overtime, supplies, material, equipment, copy machines, special education costs related to instruction. Pretty much everything we do here, the bulk of it comes under the instructional codes, okay? So let's look at some of the highlights proposed in the upcoming budget regarding the instruction in the district. Some of the enhancements we'll see at Babylon Junior Senior High School, we are introducing Project Lead the Way's computer science pathway. For the first time next year, we will be going down the road of a computer science pathway. We are introducing a new course called Project Lead the Way, AP Computer Science Principles. This is a new AP course sponsored by PLTW, which has been approved by the College Board. We are also adding additional AP courses such as AP Music Theory and AP Environmental Science. We have monies built in for AP Summer 2018 training for all new AP instructors, as well as next year's school year workshop updates for existing AP instructors. And we did that this year as well. We also have the training for continued PE yoga. Yoga will be taught as a unit as part of the PE curriculum at the high school level. Some of the updates at Babylon Memorial Grade School. We have funding for improved classroom libraries, grades 3-6. We have the addition of a 12-month clerical in the main office in lieu of a 5.75-hour-a-day 10-month aid. Going on with the instructional component at Babylon Elementary School, this budget will see the addition of a new half-time FLES teacher. That stands for Foreign Language in the Elementary School, who will deliver a new K-2 foreign language program to each class 2 times a week for 20 minutes each session. That came from the good work completed by the curriculum committee this fall and winter. We will also see the addition of a new part-time 0.5 technology STEAM teacher in grades K-2. So what we're doing, we're somewhat marrying what is done at the grade school regarding foreign language and STEAM and technology and weaving that into the elementary program. Also, Babylon Elementary School will see improved classroom libraries, K-2. Those are some of the highlights of the instructional program. Let's take a look at the technological component. I'm not going to talk too much about this because Mr. DeLeo later on in the evening has a whole presentation on technology. But under the technology component, this is really code 2630. Which includes instructional salaries, non-instructional salaries, longevity, equipment contracts, software, BOCES contracts, and general supplies for everything dealing with technological instruction. So as you can see, the current year's budget was established at $1,335,000, and next year's draft budget will be coming in at $1,402,000. Let's take a look at some of the highlights regarding technology education. You've been hearing a lot about what we're doing here as a district now for the second year, really, since Mr. DeLeo's been here, regarding a real overhaul of how we teach using technology. The first being the second bullet point, the full rollout of a one-to-one role computing initiative for students in grades K through 12. This year, this current year we're in, we did a lot of staff development with the instructional staff. So next year, the budget fully supports the full rollout where students K through 12, every student, will be assigned an HP X360 device come September. Students in grades 7 through 12 will be given a take-home device to go back and forth from school to home. And the K through 6 students will be also assigned a personal device, but those devices are not going home. They are being housed in the grade level teacher's classroom on carts. And that might change as we go through the years. You know, we might really train the kids, especially in grade 3, 4, and 5, to start, 6, to start taking them home eventually, but not up front, right? Okay.
Ms. Ferguson, can I just add one thing? The part that can't get lost in the technology budget, and David may be talking about it, is that we've built a foundation of financing through the BOCES multi-year plan that we can continue to replace the technology equipment that we purchased without having to increase the budget. These are five-year financing plans that drop off each year and provide the placeholder to make the new investments that we need to stay current with our equipment, which is, I'm sure you'll be talking about. Yeah.
Another big item to note is that September 2018 will also be starting to replace and rotate the current smart boards that we have in so many rooms. We'll be replacing them with 60J touch 75-inch LED flat panel interactive boards. This is an example of one right here. Okay.
Different brand, but
same. So, some amazing work happening in the area of technology. Let's take a look at the special education component. This also includes codes 2251, which encompasses instructional salaries, non-instructional salaries such as special education aides, longevity, equipment, professional development, technological service provider contracts, out-of-district tuition, BOCES services, special education testing, so on and so forth. So in the current 2017-2018 school year, we had a spending plan in this budget code of $7,551,000. For next year's spending plan, we anticipate $7,674,000. Not going up too much, and you know, these codes unfortunately are driven by student needs. Students who move into the district, move out of the district. Transportation, right? I mean, we do our best to forecast what the needs are based on our current population, but our staff has done a terrific job of forecasting accurately, what we said. So highlights of the proposed special education budget. We are a district, we're very proud to be able to continue to maintain and enhance all current programs. We've made enhancements of behavioral support services for classified students. We've continued with our ability to support the response to intervention programs, both at the elementary school and the grade school. We've hired a specialized Orton-Gillingham teacher to address reading challenges and also who reports out on the progress students make in that specific program. We've increased provision of services to students who were brought back into the district from outside BOCES programs. And we've gotten very innovative and used those evidence-based interventions to make those children successful here in Babylon. That, in a long-term vision, saves quite a good amount of money for the district and the taxpayers. Moving forward, as Dr. Daly mentioned, April 1st, we should have an adopted state budget. On that day, we see any additional state aid that is coming in to Babylon, and we continue to really pound down and fine-tune that bottom line number. The district's official adoption date will be Monday, April 16th. We still await any teachers who might take advantage of the early retirement notification, which is March 30th. And the next budget presentation will be at a special meeting to be held on April 9th, 2018. So at the budget, at the special meeting on April 9th, we will be giving the board a much more detailed presentation on the actual proposed budget and how we came down to levy. Okay? Upcoming dates, as you see above this page. Okay? May 7th is the annual budget hearing, and then May 15th is our budget vote trustee election. Okay? Any questions?
I have a few. When we did the contract last summer, we put the increase in cost would be about $500,000. We've got about $340,000 in the budget. Now, are we back to the lower, which is great, or was there a change in the numbers? That was an estimate at the time.
Specifically, which codes are you referring to?
What I had asked when we had signed the teacher.
Teacher's contract.
Teacher's contract. Yeah.
I think that, you know, it's always a bit of a moving target because right. You have people coming in, you have people coming out. When you're looking at teachers and you're comparing them from one year to the next, there may be situations in here that when we were at this point last year, we anticipated a certain number of teachers in certain codes. Program needs may have required that we had to add them, and we may have, in fact, in special education. So right away, you're looking at a year-to-year that's going to be skewed just by the fact that we had needs in an area that we had to hire a teacher that we hadn't budgeted. That may give the appearance that that year-to-year increase is more than what we were projecting when we were costing out the settlement from a negotiation standpoint. It's always a challenge when you're looking at and trying to predict what the actual cost will be, what the resulting costs will be in a contract, because from the point you start negotiating, people leave. Salaries fall off. They're replaced by new people. So just that difference alone is going to skew.
We will have a couple of issues. Some years
you're right. But when you think back to, and I only say this because I remember when we were 3 years at no increase, and then it went, I don't know, 1.5, 1.5, 1.75.
Right.
So when we started that, I was working with Greg Gersiel with a set of numbers, and I had to ask him, when do I change this? Mm-hmm. You know, when do I, because I gave you a number based on a teaching schematic 3 years prior, and I projected what an increment cost would be. So it's hard unless you go back to the actual number of teachers that were here when we began that negotiations process and project them as if they were all still here, to look at the resulting dollars is difficult to line it up exactly. We also had, obviously, we had some retirements. So there alone, if you're not replacing somebody, you're getting the appearance that, wow, we really saved money. It didn't cost us as much. No. Because that's not, no one could take the credit for somebody retiring. You know, it's not like you did a great job negotiating. No, two people retired, each costing the district $150,000 maybe in salary alone with longevity payment. So there's variables. That's one of the biggest challenges in trying to provide exact numbers, is that people are coming, people are going. So
what's the increment? You said you had been working on that.
When we were costing this out, I think we were looking at 1.83. It got as high as maybe 2%. Mm-hmm. But that too is going to change over time, because as we have more people on the higher steps retiring, mm-hmm. we're saving on their replacement salary. Right. But that person for the next 15 years may be looking at annual increases of 4%, which is the increment plus whatever the increase is in the salary schedule. That's balanced out by the people who have no place to move.
Yeah, this year will be about 3.75.
Yeah, but I will tell you, the way we built the budgets, we looked over like the next 4-year period through the end of the contract, right? So we built it where the biggest hits would be up front, and each year, each budget year that we get into, those increment percentages start going down now. Because you have to think about it this way, too. You have, we have a bubble coming up of retirements that will hit this district, which is a good thing for Babylon. And we specifically built, when we were negotiating, we kept that in to the build over the next 4 years.
Okay. And the one other thing, and again, it's not a major factor, but over the course of an employee's career, you negotiated a settlement that froze teachers, I believe, on the first step.
First 2 years.
Yeah. So they're not getting an increment. They're only getting whatever the salary schedule improves.
That's dependent on hiring.
Of course.
Hire.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We'll be doing hiring this summer for some replacements, mm-hmm. and the people we hired last July 1 forward are all staying frozen.
I've got a couple more, but anybody else in the board has a question? No? Okay. Lynn, I was wondering about the security line. I meant to ask about this last time. Because the security line's bumping up, you know. Yeah, well, the oil industry is 108, I think. But, I mean, it's going up from 126 to 380, so that's 154 jump. What's the plan for that? I mean, what are we, you know, we've talked about that a little bit, but not really a lot.
You want to go first?
Yeah, building level security is maintaining current levels, if not even a little more so. So our buildings will be more than well covered, mm-hmm. even compared to this year. You saw a little bit of a bump when we built the new turf fields over the last couple of years. You know, we needed security out on the fields, we felt. So you're seeing a bump on the outside security, you know, during weekends, Friday nights, Saturday nights, correct?
Okay. So just to expand on that, there are two items that will give you the appearance that security is, and it is jumping up, but it's not related to actual employee costs. It's related to, number one, the purchase of
scholarship,
and number two is the annual costs, maintenance costs, for the software, the Genetec software that we're using to monitor all of the cameras that we've recently installed through.
Is that a one-time purchase, or is that?
Maybe not to that total extent, the 40, but it'll be a recurring cost through BOCES each year for the scholarship, and the maintenance contract, I believe, or the maintenance for the software will be again a recurring cost. So. That's the major increase. That's the resulting increase that you're seeing when you say it was and now it is. Neither of those two expenses were there 17-18.
And I think it was might have been budget presentation number one when we went over the security code, so it's all in those presentations too. We broke that out.
Yeah, I was looking at it. That's what actually prompted the question. I was looking at it and I was like, wait a second.
It just looks so strange because it's zero.
Right.
Number.
Yeah.
Right. We spent the money this year.
What's misleading is if you look last year, security was coded in the 2110 function code. This year, because we now see it's becoming its own sort of area that needs to be differentiated out from salaries, mm-hmm. software, cameras, equipment, we moved it to the 16, I believe I moved it to 1621. Yeah, and you can see the lines. The first three are the salaries at each building, 01 high school, 02 grade, 03 elementary.
Okay, so that's fine.
Okay.
The healthcare was roughly 850.
Right.
It's all around the number.
Right.
Then the number went down to 384,
right.
Whatever it says there.
Yeah.
And you had indicated that was because of payment, right? But, and I thought about it, because it seemed like it wasn't quite in line. Did the number go up to 834, but we're
no,
only being
no.
paid, we're only paying?
As I reflect on that, the way that I had presented it in that slide probably didn't paint as accurate a picture as it should have.
Okay.
I didn't include in the number that was on the screen the amount of money that we get back from employee contributions.
Right, but did the number go up to 850 roughly?
No, the number in the budget actually came down because I reduced the budget line
right.
by the amount we get back from all of the employees who contribute to health insurance.
The actual increase was 850 roughly, right?
In the premiums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the budget... To budget increase, you're going to
got
see
it,
is the 330.
I just wanted to make
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that's fine.
That's a good
that's
point.
Fine. And then last question. When you talked about the number roughly 52. The number's different at the bottom of this slide. It's 53.1. Is that the result of the 2.?
No. I'll tell you what.
That's showing the gap.
That's
including
the gap.
The gap. Yeah. We have to come down from that 53 million number, down to 52.
Got it. Okay. All right.
And so the gap right now is 262,000.
Correct.
Hopefully by the next time we meet on April 9th, we'll have
a
state
money.
Right.
It will
more
be
money.
Zero.
Right.
Right.
Or you'll tell
we
us
will be down at
now.
The levy allowable.
And,
yes.
And that's an important point to emphasize because we're meeting and still working on this every day.
Right. Meanwhile,
so
the state
as information comes to us, when we ask the different supervisory level stakeholders to meet with us and refine their numbers, that comes back to me and I'll reduce this further. So you have to just pick a point from a presentation standpoint and say,
this is it.
You are in a very, very good place right now. District's in a very good place. We're confident. We have enhanced programs for children. We've enhanced security. We've enhanced, we've met all employee obligations. We feel very confident that on April 9th, we'll be back with a budget that is ready to go.
And we'll talk about staffing at the next... Obviously not by name, but we have to kind of let people
yes,
know
that will be, yep.
The next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, any questions or comments from visitors on the proposed 2018-2019 school budget?
Increase in state aid are you expecting to receive?
That is a very good question. We haven't heard anything really yet. I'm sorry?
That's a very vague answer.
Well, I haven't answered yet. I'm continuing. So we have been hearing that they are close to a settlement up at New York State. Regarding dollars, we haven't been informed yet by our state legislators. When the time comes near, probably about 2 days ahead of schedule, we'll start getting figures. Dr. Daly, have you heard anything?
Do you have a dollar number in mind?
Yeah, I do.
You might.
$83,450 in foundation aid.
Okay.
Estimated.
I'm just trying to get in my mind how you're working.
No, the way that we work it is, it's not an exact science. We look at
that.
What we've received in past years when we've heard similar things out of Albany. And we look at what we received ultimately in those years. Last year we received about $100,000 in foundation aid, an increase of $100,000. This year so far, we've received $13,449. It's kind of like the dance that takes place in Albany. The governor comes out, things are really gloomy, they don't look well, and then the downstate Senate Republican coalition says there's no way we're ever going to agree to anything that gives our districts that small an increase. And it's... So... If we got $100,000 in foundation aid, that would be real good.
Okay, what if we don't? I mean, you know, worst case scenario. I'm just trying to get
if we
handle.
Don't, whatever we don't receive in additional aid, we're going to have to go back to the budget and look to trim codes that are in the current draft of the budget to the tune of $260,000. And believe me, we've been thinking about those things. We have areas where we may need to go to, even though we don't want to. We won't have a choice. We're not going to pierce the cap.
Okay, but if let's say there's a program that we really would like to keep, would you consider, and this is for the board as well, increasing the fund balance, the allotment from fund balance?
That's certainly an option. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, not something that I personally don't like as a rule, because mm-hmm. I think we rely a little too heavily on it.
Mm-hmm.
So. We've done the past, Mr. Shaw. I mean, you know, in tough years. I mean, there's other things. You know, you saw the presentation. Make cuts. I mean, that's hopefully not. But
well, no, I'm just trying to get a handle.
Yeah, I understand.
So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can read it to you. I have my little clicker up there, but let's see. Well, in addition to all the security and the technology, let's see.
The clerical is what I was looking for.
Yes. Okay. Yes. This is something that the grade school principal has been asking for a while, to get a full 12-month clerical additional in the main office in lieu of a 5.75-hour aid as of July 1. In addition to Babylon Memorial Grade School, obviously, Mrs. O'Connor, all current levels of PD. I'm not talking about currently what we have. I'm talking additional highlights. The 12-month clerical, improved classroom libraries,
okay.
In addition to the one-on-one, the security initiatives, the camp, you know.
Okay. And you're talking staffing next meeting.
Next meeting, yes.
Any additional questions or comments from visitors on the proposed budget? Okay. Seeing no other questions, we are going to go on to other business. We have a few topics that we want to address there. Mrs. Rossi, if you want to initiate the discussion.
Sure. Tonight we received legal advice from our attorneys regarding the fourth snow day that was used last week. We had to use a fourth snow day. Legal counsel, along with administration, and in talking with the Babylon Teachers Association, we've been looking at the calendar. We did get a date, as recommended by legal this evening, and we will be passing a resolution tonight after other business discussion concludes, and the board has been advised that that give-back date would be Friday, April 6th. So once we approve that tonight, we will have a letter going out to staff to that effect tomorrow. The unit association president and I have been talking about, you know, how we'll make that work with staff, considering that people have scheduled vacations and whatnot. But we have to let the staff and families know. Most, yeah, obviously the kids.
Like them.
The reason why we're here, right? So.
Okay.
Okay.
Want to just get in there?
Yes.
We're going to do the motion after.
Okay.
Any other questions about the calendar?
No, I mean, it's a very difficult situation that a lot of school districts are in, and my concern is if we are bringing children back, I want to make sure that, you know, they're getting a rich experience that day.
At this point in time, Dr. Dallier, Mrs. Rossi, do you want to talk a little bit about you attended a security meeting this week? We were going to comment upon that. Mm-hmm. Is that what you...
Yes. On Friday morning, actually, Dr. Dallier and I attended a countywide security meeting held at the Sheriff's Office at Niapank. It was fairly well attended with other school district superintendents and business officials and security officers, and obviously the the topic is, you know, security of schools. We've tried our best to get out as much information to parents as we do, and we'll continue to do as we go along. The district is actually hosting a very informative evening on April 17th at 6 p.m. with the county executive right here in Babylon. So we'll be getting a flyer out to our faculty, staff, and families on that. But the meeting on Friday was very informative. We heard from detectives. We heard from the acting interim commissioner, right? We will be planning on doing some tabletop exercises with staff in September, as well as having those people in to talk with staff, just so we can constantly be on top of our game.
Yeah. No, we are. We've done quite a bit from the standpoint of security. We were actually out in front on the installation of the cameras. So now, of course, in this budget, we have the software purchase to monitor the cameras. We're including in the budget funding to reconfigure and create a more secure front vestibule in this building. It was something that we talked about and we thought about doing. The board went back and forth with this on trying to include it in the bond project, but we do have the funding in the proposed budget to do that. The other item that at least was one of my takeaways, and again, Mrs. Rossi and I discussed this, one of the critically important parts that the data has revealed in these tragedies is there are certain things that you can do which would require reasonable expenditure but would greatly improve. God forbid if you ever had a situation where you had someone in your building and they were trying to inflict harm, and that is to be able to rather easily lock all of the classroom doors from inside. I've learned this afternoon that we have the capabilities to do that in all the classrooms in the elementary school. We do not have the capabilities to do that in all the classrooms in the grade and the high school. But I also learned this afternoon that for what I believe would be a worthwhile investment, we can take, and we've started, Mr. Pano had started a process of changing all of the lock sets to make it possible for us to, at a cost of approximately $200 per classroom, purchase and install cords that would allow the teachers in those grade school and high school classrooms to do the things that the teachers in the elementary school can do now, which is to, on a command or on a announcement, easily lock it, boom. And that's something that, again, we have the funding in the budget to probably address almost in its entirety, or almost, next year as well. It would be one of, you know, our strongest recommendations to do.
So just in its entirety, would we need to use any capital reserve funds?
No,
we do have.
That's a great question, and I know we had, you know, we thought about that. Unfortunately, we attended that workshop, and this tragedy just happened. A lot of people are scrambling to do certain things, and, you know, obviously, to do those things requires resources. We do have money in our capital reserve fund. However, there is a 45-day notification requirement to put a proposition before the voters to approve expending from the capital reserve fund. We don't have that time to try and use capital reserve funds to do that, but it may be something in the future when we get our technology in, we get all our cameras operational, our vestibules are set up. We may want to go another step, and there might be something out there that we want to do to take security even further.
So we have the money in the current budget to do the locks. Is that what you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing thing. This is not a one and done. I mean, there's some great ideas that were brought up by some folks. You know, if we're replacing doors, I mean, I thought the idea of the higher glass so you can't bust the glass and reach in and unlock the door. I thought that was terrific. I mean, no, no one can guarantee complete safety. So it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. But there's a lot that we can do, I think. Being thoughtful and, you know, measured. And we might not have time for a capital reserve initiative now, but we did the bond in December. You know, I mean, if we decide, you know, if we make an assessment and decide we want to use some of that $1.9 million, seems like a perfect way, you know, to use it to make. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, other comments or anybody okay? Okay, do you want anything under other business? I think you want to talk about it. Yeah.
Does anyone have any other topics to bring up?
Yeah, I have a question. Is there a way that, and I know this might be asking for additional work for somebody, but is there a way for us to know who has permits for our facilities? Yesterday I was coming home Sunday morning, and I saw some people on the field, and I had no way of knowing if they were supposed to be on the field or not.
Was it the baseball players or the rugby?
I think it was soccer.
Yeah. Baseball players, my first clue was like, well, it looks like Babylon College, but these kids were hopping the fence over Quarry Avenue, and I know that none of our coaches would be, our coaches are very responsible, and I know that they would just not allow that for the kids. They'd have to walk over to the field together. So my concern is, well, I don't know, you know, how do I know I should alert you, Mrs. Rossi, mm-hmm. that, hey, wait a second, we have a problem on the field. So.
It's a very good question.
I mean, I'm not looking for more work in my life, but I'm just concerned. You know, we spent a lot, the taxpayers spent a lot of money on that facility, and I don't want to see it overused and abused to the point where we're going to turn around to the taxpayers and say, well, we didn't watch it carefully enough, and now we need more money.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a great point. Right. And it's 2 weeks in a row. I mean, I've gotten calls 2 Sundays in a row.
Which one about with the rugby and the baseball?
No, there's other issues. It's way fields are being treated, even if, you know, people are hitting balls into the backstop.
Yeah, no,
it's all chipped now.
Yeah, they've got it going on.
I'm not talking about two or three kids picking up.
Right.
You know,
no, it's an organized.
That's what I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
Organized.
Two organized sports.
You know, and the other part, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, going forward, I'd like us as a board to discuss security, because, you know, we're spending a fair amount of money on security, and frankly, that ought to be their job. You know, somebody have a permit? You know,
right.
We never want to push people off, kids off.
Right,
but the flip side of that is if adults are using it, they need that.
But as long as everybody's using it properly, too,
exactly.
And I think that's also a point. Even if they are our children, they need to be using it properly.
But don't we have security stations out there? And if people were out there with that security officer, I'd check.
I don't know. I mean, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to go with that whole process.
Right, that's all.
Check the permits, and they know they have a record of permits.
Yeah, they do. In fact, I know a security officer got a couple of groups off yesterday morning from what I was told.
There's two groups right now. One group that has a permit to use the field. It's the Babylon Youth Lacrosse. The groups that were out there yesterday, once the security guard who, and again, this came to me via Mike DeJoseph, via our security director, the baseball group was definitely an organized group. The security guard had been down at the grade elementary school when he returned. They were asked to leave. They didn't have a permit. The security has copies of permits to assign groups. The challenge is that, yes, nobody should abuse the facility. It's very difficult to put a person out there in a position to know who is ours,
right,
and who isn't ours,
right,
what play borders on abuse, what doesn't. It is a field, and it's a community resource. It just becomes difficult when you're asking someone to differentiate between he's ours, he's not. Well, how do you know? He's got a Babylon jersey on. He has a West Islip jersey on.
But Dr. Philly, if it's an organized group and they don't have a permit, they're gone.
That's the easy one.
That's not even a question.
Okay.
But
I think that's what the concern is, it was organized groups without a chance.
We've always said that we want the community to pay for it. So we've always said we want the community to come in and use it. You know, we're not talking about chasing off some dads or some dads with kids or moms or, you know, with kids, whatever it is. I mean, you know, but when it becomes like the regular thing where, you know, we just have to deal with it for each week, you know, year. And especially to Trisha's point, if they're not taking care of it, I mean, that's a whole other issue.
Well, if they're our children and not taking care of our children, they have to be.
But even the team, the baseball team that shouldn't have been there, sure, climbing the fence,
right,
you know.
Right, exactly. That's just
so they're actively, they're going to, we're going to, we definitely, so just to clarify, we have right now, is it 24-hour security?
No.
No, okay, so when are they there?
We have
on Sunday, I guess. That's when all the calls are coming.
I have to get back to you with the actual time frame, but I think it's a decision that rests with you.
Right.
If you want to go 24/7, you can. I don't think it's money. That would be money well spent. I think.
No, I just want to know when they're there.
There's
on going Sunday,
to be groups
so
that are going to push the envelope right now because the weather's getting
nice
warm.
Out.
They know,
and
if no one's kicking them off, they're going to come here.
Right.
Well, guess what? That baseball group won't be back.
Yeah, because that was definitely an organized sport.
They won't be back.
You can't put somebody out there 24/7.
No. I just want to make sure when they're there on Sundays, because Sundays seem to be the hot time, because we're not using it Sunday morning. Because I've gotten two calls the same time each weekend, and just what's going on.
Now, if a permit is not being used, let's say somebody has a permit at 10 o'clock. There's people on the field at 9 o'clock playing soccer like yesterday morning. Do you want them off the field? What's the scenario there? Do you kick them off, or do you let them?
The permitted.
No, I understand that. The permit's for 10 o'clock.
Right.
They're on the field at 9 o'clock playing. Do you want the security guard kicking them off?
By 10.
That's a...
Right. Okay. Well, so if you have, if like they said, if you have dads playing soccer, I mean, there was a lot of people playing this today.
Right.
So I don't know if they were Babylon dads or who they were, but if no one has a permit for that time in the morning, do you want them off?
No, that's
my point.
Yeah, I mean, I hear
but
what
that's
you're saying.
Only if they're only allowed if they're Babylon.
I get it.
I think based on our prior conversation, we're not allowing people outside of the school district using our fields.
I understand.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think you should also give some consideration, and I don't want to sound, you know, you should probably let the community know they have to carry ID with them. If you're going to go down and play on a field. I say that, how is a security guard supposed to know if somebody's a resident or not? If he's an adult, without asking him for ID.
I
only ask this because this is what the security ask us. How should we make that determination? And if the person says ID, you know, they got their shorts on, they're kicking the ball with their kid, you got to show ID.
I guess, if you've got 22 guys lined up to play soccer, that's one thing. If you've got a dad and a couple of kids, I'm not going to get particularly exercised about it. If they kick them a ball around, whether they live on West Babylon or West Nice or North Babylon.
You have two organized baseball teams in different jerseys.
Exactly, right.
Okay, you get
these
them
guys
off.
Are using them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds like there's an organized game going on.
But again, we're talking about, we know the baseball team.
Right.
They have uniforms on. I'm just trying to...
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I saw a bunch of dads out there yesterday morning soccer. I drove by. Now, I don't know if they're from Babylon or not. They looked like they were having fun. I didn't see lacrosse ready to go saying, hey, this is our field. So do we kick them off is my question.
No, we don't if they're Babylon School District residents.
But I guess
not Babylon residents. You know, it's funny because we had a conversation with security and written guidelines with security that these are the rules that the security guards have to follow. So I'm a little, I don't want to hear that they're not doing their job, because we told them they have to check
places. It doesn't take long for a group to set up shop if they're checking out another field.
Yeah, but they've been told to check ID for everybody
on
that field.
Like, these look like organized groups. This does not look like a couple kids and parents. So in my head, I don't know if they have.
We throw people away.
Here's what happens, and the protocol's all written out. The security people who are out there have a book of all the permits every time they're out there.
That's good.
And They've been directed that they must check ID. If they are a Babylon resident and nobody else has the permit for the field, they can use the field at their leisure. If they, in their book they see the permit is filled out and someone's playing on the field, they've been directed to get those people off the field because the team who has the permit is coming on. So, but they have been directed to check IDs. So I'll reiterate, Dr. Daly and I will reiterate that again.
Now, are we giving permits to, you know, baseball teams that are from, not from here?
No.
We're not doing
that.
Did we used to?
No, there used to be a baseball field years ago.
The Methodist softball, the Presbyterian softball.
Oh, yeah.
But they had some Babylon guys on.
So that's
Babylon residents only.
Right.
Only. Right.
It has to be a certain percentage of Babylon people on the team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's Spanish guys out on the field, but they're working in our community right here. So, and I think some, they're living here. So they're living in the town, or I mean in the village, or they're living. So it's not easy.
No, I know it's not easy. But if it's a big organized game, which is what I saw, I would assume there'd be a permit.
What's this?
You're right.
What I saw yesterday.
What did you see?
I saw soccer yesterday.
Last week it was rugby and baseball. Maybe it was soccer this week.
I mean, it sounded like there was a baseball game, but when I drove by yesterday morning, there was a full-on soccer game.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
But, I mean, they weren't in uniform. They just looked like...
Well, they have pennies.
I guess they have to, yeah.
Okay. But just to clarify, I mean, those protocols were in writing, and we met with security, and that was the directive.
Okay.
You're out there, you're checking.
You have to start.
Yeah, and they do have permits in a binder that they keep.
Coming up by our nation. Okay. So anything other any other business anybody wants to bring up? Everybody okay? Good? Okay, so at this time I'm gonna make a motion to amend the agenda to include a resolution amending the 2017-2018 school calendar. Okay, may I have it first? Mrs. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Montalto. Discussion? Okay, all in favor to amend the agenda? Against? Okay, in favor to
amend.
Okay, passes 7-0. Want to be the resolution you want
me to? Okay, the resolution reads, resolved that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education amends the 2017-2018 school year calendar to add Friday, April 6th as an instructional day.
Okay, may I have a motion to approve resolution number 4, Mr. Benzavega, seconded by Mrs. O'Brien. Discussion? All in favor? Everybody in favor? Yes? Good?
Yes.
Okay, against? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, future meetings. We do have a special meeting Monday, April 9th, 2018, 7:30, here in the library. The topic will be budget presentation number 5. And then the next regular business meeting will be Monday, April 16, 2018, 7:30 in the library, and that will be the budget presentation and the adoption. Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn? Okay, Mrs. DeLerva, seconded by Mrs. George. All in favor? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, we're going to continue on with the technology and then buildings and grounds.